This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into another episode of the Swamp 247 podcast. I am your host, Graham Hall, joined today by my co-host, Blake Alderman, and we are going to talk about some recent moves that the Gators have made in the transfer portal and at the recruiting ranks from the high school level, Florida. We've talked about this on the site over at swamp247.com. If you haven't seen it, check it out there. But we've talked about the scholarship limits where Florida is at right now, just sitting at the top of that 85-man limit. But that hasn't stopped Florida from looking to add to their roster. And a couple of weeks ago, Florida got a top 50 prospect by 247 Sports in the most recent class. And Jason Zandamella, we've caught up with him after his official visit, where he talked about the proximity to home factor, a guy who moved from Mozambique to Clearwater, went to Clearwater International Academy, but then he signs with USC, goes cross country for his first spring on campus, and he realized that that just wasn't the correct situation for him, where he was going to be able to get the best up to his development-wise, needed to be closer to his support system at home, and that made it a UCF-Florida battle where the Gators ultimately prevail. And it gave Florida, like we just said, a massive piece in their 2024 class where they've continued to rise up the rankings, you know, 3 months after signing day, which is pretty impressive in my mind. Blake, you had a chance to talk to Jason's coach here. From what you've gleaned, what is Florida getting out of Jason? And maybe what do you see his impact being in 2024? I know he's, you know, a true freshman here in Florida. Certainly, I don't think they're going to rely on a true freshman along the interior there, but there is some youth there and there's some competition there with a guy moving positions from right tackle to right guard and Damian George and another sophomore and Najee Harris looking to lock down that left guard spot. So certainly it looks like there's going to be an opportunity for him to get significant reps, especially from a practice standpoint. But from talking to his coach and what you've understood about Jason, what have you gathered about this latest addition for the Gators?
Yeah, I think interior offensive line, I think more so center is probably where his, I guess, home position will be. But if you follow Florida, you follow Florida recruiting, you know that they're big on that, you know, versatility type positions. You could see a guy that is, you know, a guard, right tackle, swing type of guy that could, you know, plug and play type of player. You could have a guy that could play center guard. You know, that's, I think, what Florida's plans are there with Jason. But I do think that center is probably more so going to be his home spot. And I think the luxury you get with a guy like Zandamella is you look at most high profile elite offensive linemen that are in high school. You could be a guy that's going to play interior in college, but that's a guy that you're going to throw out at the offensive tackle position in high school, just because guys are going to college is probably 9 times out of 10 going to be one of your better players on the offensive line at the high school level, unless you're one of those teams that's lucky enough to have multiple, you know, big time 4-star, high 3-star, whatever, top recruits on your high school roster. So you get a guy in Jason Zandamella that has played center in high school for his high school team. So this is a guy that understands how to read fronts, understands how to identify Mike linebackers, and understands how to, recognize things along the offensive line to make a call that could change the play or change the blocking scheme. So you've got a guy that maybe has a little bit of a jump start on those types of things and being able to identify those things. Not someone that you really have to teach from square one, but again, moving from high school to college, those are a little bit higher level type learnings and things you need to learn and see. And you more than likely will see things in college that he's never seen in high school. But I think the fact that he has that in the mental part of the game is a good thing. From talking to his coach, this is a guy that really fits into some of the blocking schemes that Florida wants to do. He's a guy that has the athleticism to pull out on a screen play and get out there. A guy that is comfortable with outside zone blocking, a guy that can really play those gaps in the interior as far as blocking and picking up those types of blocks. So I think a lot of things that he's strong at as far as blocking schemes and picking up those things are things that will translate good to what Florida wants to do offensively. But this is a guy that was a top 50 player on the top 247 in the 2024 cycle. He's ranked as the number one interior offensive lineman in 24/7 Sports transfer rankings, number seven overall player on the transfer rankings, a guy that he's going to be listed as a transfer, but this is a guy that was there, 3 months out there at USC. So really a guy that you're getting that is still technically a high school player, even though he will be listed as a transfer. So, highest profile or highest recruit ranked that Florida has landed along the offensive line. So as they continue to try to build up that offensive line, whether it's plugging in transfer players, whether it's continuing to recruit the high school level, developing guys, identifying guys that you like at the high school level, it's a good start. They're really starting to put things together there. I don't know so much about a guy that's going to be able to impact this season. And I say that just because it's tough, because even if you're looking at a high school guy, most of those guys that really get those early snaps or at least during the rotation or whatever you want to say. Those are guys that are there in spring. They go through spring ball, they get their nose in the playbook. And here we have a guy that was not really there for much of the spring at USC. So even then, he's a guy that was still kind of learning the ropes at the high school level, because he was a guy that moved to the States to play football. He's a former rugby player. So I think that this year could be maybe a year where he gets in the rotation somewhat as the year goes on. I guess it kind of contingent on learning the playbook and how fast he can pick things up. But I would assume that that's going to be a guy that's going to make an impact down the line, that maybe this year, if he does get into the rotation, I think it would probably be closer to later in the year. And then each year you expect a little bit more out of him. So Florida getting a guy at the center position is good, because you mentioned Najee Harris, you've got Roderick Kearney, Jake Slaughter's there now, but he's starting to get up there in eligibility. So With the Najee Harris's and the Roderick Kearney's and now throwing in a Jason Zandamela, you've got a good problem, I guess, because all of those guys have mentioned playing center or playing guard, those guys that can move around. So you at least have some options, whether it be what you work on during the fall or what you work on next spring, to cross-train those guys to find out what your best starting five could be, plugging those guys around and seeing what they do. So Florida's got options, I guess, is the best thing to say there in the future, figuring out who plugs in best at guard, who plugs in best at the center position. So I think those are some good positives there for him.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Roderick Kearney, because if you followed our coverage of Kearney last year, that was a guy that he didn't have a great spring game, kind of had some mishandled snaps, and he spends the entire year on scout team. And he really, while some players in the transfer portal era are going to be a little bit down about being a scout team guy, from everything we heard, Kearney attacked that role and made the most of it, especially getting an abundance of practice snaps. And now he set himself up to maybe not be the starting center for Florida, but a guy who is pushing for that role and is able to get more valuable reps as a second year guy. And it sets them up well for the future. Like you said, Jake Slaughter was inserted last year as a starting center due to injuries to Kingsley, and he gradually improved as the year went on, but someone who hadn't played initially his first year on campus. So it certainly seems that for Jason, if he can develop a whole bunch this year and set himself up for a promising year two, maybe get involved on special teams as well, just to get him some in-game experience. I don't know if it's a guy who may be in line to redshirt. That wouldn't surprise me whatsoever. I think a lot of that remains to be seen. But like you said, a good problem to have from a youth perspective, because having options along the interior is certainly something that this coaching staff is going to want to have for the future, just knowing that there's some guys that are getting up there in eligibility, from Slaughter to obviously Austin Barber, the tackles that they brought in. So a valuable addition, absolutely. And you noted he's a transfer, but I count this guy as a part of the high school signee class, even though he spent time out there with USC. To quote the coaches, this is a guy who should be getting ready for his high school prom right now. And I think that absolutely getting him on campus, having already gone through practice sessions, it's a valuable addition for the Gators. Now, when you look at the future of Florida's roster addition process. I think that you saw another promising piece that the Gators were able to pick up within the last week, and that was in Jeremiah McLeod, you know, a guy who had been on campus several times, had talked about Florida being one of the top teams that were on his list, formerly committed to Mississippi State, and he had looked like he was backing off that pledge gradually, and the Gators are able to secure his commitment. You had a chance to talk to Jeremiah. This is what, commitment number four for Florida, so still very, very early in the 2025 class, but a critical piece in my mind to get a body along the defensive line at a position that is a premium right now from the transfer portal to the high school recruiting ranks. You get a guy like this, I think it bodes well for building your class. And from having talked to him, I know you have, that it sounds like he's going to be an active recruiter when it comes to getting some other guys here in the fold. Just what do you make of getting Jeremiah, and what do you think it means for Florida's trajectory of their 2025 class?
You know, I don't know so much about the trajectory, because I do think that, you know, coming off the seasons that Florida's had, I do think there's a large cluster of players and recruits that are sort of wait and see with Florida. That doesn't mean that they don't like Florida anymore, or they're negatively any sort of feeling about Florida, I guess. But I do think that it's sort of wait and see. They want to see how things look this season. You know, I think going back to a guy like four-star safety Hilton Stubbs out of Jacksonville, a guy that going back to January had named Florida his leader, continued to do that. Oh, boom, he's committed to USC over there in March. And now he's saying that he's still listening to Florida. Florida's still pushing for him, but he's more wait and see, wanting to see how things go in the fall. And I don't know that that's necessarily a Florida thing. I think that that's something that he wants to do for all the teams that are still recruiting him. But I do think there's a little extra incentive with Florida, just because you're coming off the seasons that they've had. You know, there's, you know, social media talk. These kids spend a lot of time on social media. They see these things of, you know, just, oh man, you know, what's going to go on with the coaching staff? And a lot of that remains to be seen. I think that this year you're focusing on having the best year you can. Billy Napier has said consistently that he's got a lot of experienced players on this roster this year, that he feels really good about this roster. So we'll see. So I don't know what McLeod would do for the trajectory of the class, because I do think that that is something as far as waiting and see. But I do think it says something about Florida's, I guess, what they've done as far as being able to get a guy that was talking about, I'm going to take some official visits in the summer, backing off that early Mississippi State commitment, was going to take those official visits, take a little bit more time making a second decision. Well, Florida was able to really change that and get things done much earlier than maybe he anticipated, going in there, having those, I think, three visits he took over the course of the spring, getting there to Florida each time a little bit more. He liked it a little bit more. He liked it. And then the third visit, he comes up there with his mom. Mom was sold on Florida, and he mentioned that mom is not an easy person to really impress or really get in on your side. And Florida did that. And I think that that's something that really made this maybe move a little bit more on the fast track, because kids are going to like every school. These schools are put together to look like that. Facilities are always nice. You've got jerseys, you've got this, coaches do this and that, development. A lot of teams put players in the NFL. So each visit is made to look awesome, especially whenever you're, you know, kind of dolled up with your campus, is what you would have on a, you know, a junior day compared to just a regular day of just really trying to show everything. So I think that that speaks to Florida being able to really kind of put the squeeze on a player, I guess, if you will, getting them to go ahead and shut things down, someone that they wanted. But, you know, again, he's a guy that, you know, a defensive lineman is really good to get on board. If you can build guys that are at those positions to where everybody's going to need defensive linemen, there's always going to be sort of a chain reaction as far as, you know, if you miss out on such and such guy, school will turn to such and such guy, you know, from A to B. So I think that Florida getting that guy on board early, when you've got schools like Georgia that have offered this year, LSU had hosted him on campus and were pushing for him with Bo Davis, the defensive line coach over there at LSU. USC was pushing for him out west. Colorado, I think, offered and was working on getting a visit. So there were some other schools that were still trying to get this guy on campus, were still trying to recruit him. And I would assume, you know, when you got a guy that backs off that Mississippi State commitment and immediately has Florida as his leader, those were some of those guys that were probably trying to do the opposite of Florida, whereas Florida's like, hey, man, let's get this thing done. And these other schools are like, hey, man, take your time. You know, come check us out. Do this, that, and the other. So, you know, Florida did a really good job there. Gerald Chapman did a great job with him. Austin Armstrong was involved. Billy Napier has a group text with Jeremiah and his mom, and they talk all the time. So that's something he's really appreciated. And then even then, you've got a guy that's going to be a vocal recruiter. You know, even the day that Jeremiah had committed to Florida this past week, he was already on the phone, working the text, working the DMs on Twitter, talking to four-star defensive lineman Malik Autry, who's a big target for Florida on the defensive line that has committed to Auburn, a guy that Florida really wants. And Jeremiah was already in his ear. Jeremiah is going to take that official visit to Florida there on the weekend of May 31st at the end of this month. So each of those official visit weekends for Florida, they're going to have multiple guys, you know, over 10 guys on each weekend. So it's a guy that it's good to have one of your commits not only there to answer any questions about maybe why they committed to Florida, what they see about Florida, their thoughts on Florida, et cetera, but a guy that's going to do all that, but also be in your ear of really being like, man, come on, look, let's get this thing done. Let's play, let's do this, that, and the other play together. So I think there's a lot of positives there. And I really do like Jeremiah from what I've seen from him at the Under Armour camp there in Orlando early this year. He came away with the MVP honors of that camp along the defensive line. And that's what led to so many of these offers, Florida included, and plenty more offers coming out there and really kind of stocking them up and really turning into a, you know, a guy that maybe is a three-star, but a guy that's having some of those offers of those blue chip four-star players. We'll see where things go as far as his ranking. It is still very early in the cycle. Spring football is going on now. A lot of these teams and players are going to have their senior years coming up, so there's still a lot of evaluation from a ranking standpoint. But that offer sheet is looking like a top profile, or excuse me, a top recruit type of profile on him from just the teams that have been recruiting him. So I do think that Florida got a guy that I could see moving up the rankings as this cycle and this year goes on.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Yeah, you mentioned his offer list, and I do think that at this time of the year, that maybe is what people should go off of a little bit more. Not to say that recruiting rankings don't matter year-round, but when you look at the amount of top programs that have offered a guy like McLeod, I think that speaks highly to how they've evaluated him, and certainly a long way to go here. And I think that he'll continue to receive interest, even though he has locked in with Florida. And that should, you know, speak highly to what you're getting in a player when programs aren't giving up on you, pledging to another place, they're still going after you. I do think that that speaks highly to him. And certainly I do think that this is, you know, when I use the word trajectory, I do think that just from a momentum standpoint, you know, you brought up the coaching staff. And that certainly is a fair point here where a lot of players are going to wait and see how Florida does during the season. But when you have someone who buys in early, can be another voice and say, you know, I'm still going to be here, even if something goes awry with the coaching staff, or, you know, be another voice in their ear when the official visit season comes around. I do just think that helps from a momentum standpoint and helps you, you know, give you better odds when you are hosting players. And then, you know, obviously the case of Florida, what it speaks to Florida's ability to get guys to commit when there is so much uncertainty for the upcoming season. I do think that that just bodes well from an optics standpoint. I think that you show that you can still recruit even when there's so many reasons for other programs to negative recruit you. Even your own fan base at times is negatively recruiting you and saying, well, this coaching staff may not be here. We know that that is going to only hurt Florida's chances of procuring talent and setting themselves up for the future. So knowing that this coaching staff can overcome that, I do just think it is a positive sign for this Florida program. Now, I know I mentioned at the beginning of this episode that Florida's scholarship limit is right there, that Florida looks like they can't really add anyone else sitting at the 85-man limit, but that has not stopped them from setting up official visits with players still in the transfer portal. The latest one that we've reported over at Swamp 247 is a highly touted wide receiver out of Arizona State in Elijah Badger that Florida is going to host on an official visit next week. It is May 9th as we're recording this episode. They're going to have him on campus on May 14th. So 5 days away, he's going to be taking an official visit here to Florida as he looks for a new home. It's really interesting to me that Florida still is able to go after players, especially at, I think, a position of need at wideout, where, yeah, they brought in Chimera and DK and certainly have some guys coming back who are talented, like Eugene Wilson. You know, Khalil Jackson has ascended to a starting role. They still are obviously high on Aiden Mizell, Andy Jean. Marcus Burke has had a really good spring. I do think that this is a situation, though, that Florida can add talent to their receiving core, and they've gone after Badger, and they're going to have a chance to get him to commit to Florida next week. And I think that this is a really intriguing piece and just an intriguing storyline, considering where Florida is at from a scholarship limit. Just what have you heard from Badger, and how do you think that – what do you think Florida's chances are for him? I know it's still early and he hasn't been on campus yet and we still have a lot more information to gather, but being able to set up an official visit with him, knowing what their scholarship limits are, I think it speaks highly to the chances that he ends up, you know, being a Florida Gator.
You know, I think a lot of that is wait and see. Yes, the official visit is being set. I think there's a multitude of reasons for that. You know, again, wide receiver is something that they have seen as necessary going into the spring window. That was the position that I heard was, you know, one that they were wanting to address in the spring portal before the spring portal even opened. So you've got a guy that has the production. 2022 season, he was extremely productive, 70 catches, 864 yards, and 7 touchdowns. That's probably the best season that he's put together as far as his college career. Had a really good season last year. I believe he was Arizona State's leading receiver last season as well. So the production is there. And I think for Florida, you've got, you know, guys like Chimera DK, like you mentioned. You've got all these young guys, some of the guys that are maybe a little bit older in eligibility, but just haven't had those consistent game reps. So there are some unknowns as far as, you know, kind of past, you know, DK and Trey Wilson, who was really good as a freshman, as a young guy himself. So could those guys that are currently on Florida's roster take that next step if the opportunity's there or the experience gets there as the season goes along? Sure, absolutely. That'd be ideal. That's most ideal for Florida, is these guys that they brought in really taking that next step and turning into guys that they can count on, or at least impact players. So aside from that, I think you look at what Badger has. You know that there's some production there. Can he make that jump to the next level? I think from the continuing recruiting of him, I think that that shows that they do think highly of him. I believe he's currently the highest rated uncommitted transfer portal wide receiver target right now on 24/7 Sports. So it's a really good guy there. So I think the thing where I'm maybe more so wait and see with where Florida's at, because yes, the numbers are an elephant in the room, but I think also you've got a guy that I believe it was the Oregon game last year. He suffered a back injury. It's something that has been a little bit nagging for him into this year. Even in spring football, he was limited. I believe he was able to do, you know, kind of drills, but really wasn't in any part of contact type of drills, and I don't believe he's played in the spring game either. So I think that there's some wait and see with continuing to evaluate the back. I would think that them doing the official visit tells me either two things. Maybe from what they've heard or what they've gathered so far, it's not quite as bad as, you know, maybe someone assuming. You know, I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and nor have I talked anything like that to know exactly what the back is looking like right now. Just more so that he was limited in the spring. So getting him there on official visit allows you to have your medical team look at him, see where things are at. So I think that that's going to be a determining factor here of where Florida goes going forward, because you've got a guy that I believe has 1 year of eligibility left, and you don't want a guy that, you know, can't reach his full potential when you're already crunching numbers. So the numbers, I think, is an interesting thing too, because you're at 85, but we're in a new day and age of college football. I don't know if this is going to be necessarily the scenario, but we're turned into a world where NIL is a thing now. You know, is a scholarship, if you're going to be a guy that's going to be played, whether it's Badger being a guy that could come in as I guess a walk-on, but have enough NIL to take care of all those things and make it enticing for him to come. Is that something that's a possibility? I don't think it's something crazy, because that's just kind of a way now that there are available to make those numbers work. You've got some guys in Cam Carroll and Keon Zipperer that this past season suffered those injuries. And it's, I guess, unknown, because I believe, correct me if I'm wrong, both those guys were either limited or out all spring, right? So Will those guys be available in the fall? I guess that's a question there. How serious are those injuries? Are we talking, medical, retirement type thing? So again, I'm just more so giving options there. But, if those guys aren't available to play, that's certainly a way to where you could open up the numbers. And then could just somebody with the transfer portal window being closed now, you're not going to even have those graduate guys that will be able to enter the portal now, like where you could in previous years to enter after that. Is there something to where somebody wants to, be done with football or something like that? So I guess those are where some of the options are at now, because it used to be, if you're looking, transfer portal windows closed, it's either you've either got your 85 or you don't. So I think now there are options that I think Florida has. Will any of those options work out? Are those roads they travel? I don't necessarily know right now, but I guess those are sort of setting the table of, I guess, what I've at least see as some options that Florida could have if this is a road that they want to go down with Elijah Badger. So, getting someone that can complement Trey Wilson that has that production, I think, is important for them, because Trey Wilson, you look at what he did as a freshman, you hope that he continues to make that jump as a sophomore. But now the word's out on him. This is a guy that's dynamic, that Florida's going to want to get the ball. Do you just focus on him and then try to have these other guys that maybe don't have the experience or the age of that to take that next step? Do you kind of try to shut down and focus on Trey Wilson and let these other guys beat you? Or do you go out and get a guy like Elijah Badger that at least gives you two options? If you shut down Elijah Badger, you've got Trey Wilson open, or any other players that are there, vice versa. So I think that that's where Florida's at now, is just trying to get a guy like that can just continue to give them another weapon in their offense. Graham Mertz, needs as many options as he can out wide there. The offensive line take that next step. So I think if you want to continue to stockpile, and it's going to be a pivotal year three for Billy Napier as he tries to get this thing righted and get the schedule is tough, and trying to get things, the trajectory of your program where it's at turning forward. Continue to add as many talented guys that you can count on. That's what the transfer portal is in Billy Napier's eyes, getting those guys to have the talent, the experience that's going to make your roster better. And Badger is certainly one of those guys, at least I think. But I do think that there are some questions about the back. Getting those answered on his official visit, I think, is the next step. But got a guy that has visited Washington for an official, has visited Arizona for an official visit. And the way the transfer portal works is, a lot of times those guys do commit on their official visits, if not a couple days after. So we've got a guy that has taken both these visits, still remains uncommitted. So I think that lets you know that Florida at least has a fair shot if that back checks out and everything medically works out and every other, dot in the I's and crossing the T's works out to where you're look at in your evaluation part of your portal. So I do think that Florida has a shot with the fact of just he's still uncommitted after taking those visits at this point. But I do think there are some questions that will be able to be answered on that official.
Yeah, I think that's the big reason why you set up an official visit. You have to gauge what his willingness would be to, one, maybe be a preferred walk-on in this day and age where you can maybe make up some of that ground through NIL. Like you said, that is certainly where the game is currently heading. And if you have healthy NIL, you can certainly go over that quote-unquote 85-man scholarship limit and get guys who would have been on scholarship elsewhere and are willing to maybe accept a preferred walk-on spot for your program, knowing that they're still going to be able to have some form of outside compensation when they move to your program. And I do think that if Florida didn't really have a plan in place for him to be able to be on the roster, I don't think that they would be wasting resources to set this official visit up. And you also mentioned that he hasn't committed elsewhere. He's taken other visits, still is looking for the right home. And we're getting to, I think, the window here before June where programs want to have wrapped up their transfer portal guys so they can really turn their focus to their high school recruiting efforts and making sure that roster is all set by the time of summer workouts. So certainly seems like there's a little bit of a deadline here, but like you mentioned with his back ailment, that is, I think, a factor that is really going to be a determining one, how Florida feels about him being able to contribute this upcoming season, being able to check him out on their own and make that determination is probably an ulterior motive here for this official visit. And it makes a lot of sense here that you want to see for yourself and get a firsthand impression of where he stands before both parties make a commitment. So certainly we'll have a lot more information on Badger next week as he takes his official visit. We'll be talking to him about how that feels and what he liked about the Florida program. And certainly, like I said, a lot more information coming from Blake Alderman over there at Swamp 247. And we'll be back in a couple of weeks as, like I mentioned, programs turn their focus to the high school recruiting ranks as we get into that official visit season here at May 31st, right? Where they'll be able to start hosting prospects on campus again for official visits. And Florida has already started lining up a whole ton of those, a full slate already. You can see all that information over at Swamp247. But for today, that's going to do it for this episode of the Swamp247 podcast. Really appreciate Blake Alderman joining me to talk all things Florida roster, recruiting efforts, you name it. He knows it. Make sure you follow Swamp247. Stay tuned. And for Graham Hall and Blake Alderman, we'll see you next time.